This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The place we're in is much more grand, and in the grand scheme of things, Jibreel alayhi salam looks like one star in the night sky.
When najmi idha hawa ma dhanna sahibukum wa ma ghawa.
That's when a group of men surprised King Dawood in his chambers. He's the prophet that had 99 wives, right?
No, it says...
Hey, just use Bayina TV. We break down every section of the Quran into straightforward, understandable pieces. I started Bayina TV to make the Quran accessible for people of all levels of understanding. The beauty and guidance found within its passages shouldn't be limited to scholars. Click the link to start your journey into the Quran and Arabic today.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رآ من آيات ربه الكبرى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد once again everybody السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته I am overwhelmed at what I'm hoping to share with you today. It's extremely powerful. My first dua to Allah is that what I felt today learning and internalizing some of the lessons that I'm about to share with you, I pray that the effect on your hearts is much more even than what I was able to experience, because the goal here is not just to understand the word of Allah, for it to impact our hearts. So I start with the dua that Allah enlighten our hearts. Allahumma nawwir qulubana bi nur al-Quran. May Allah enlighten our hearts with the light of the Quran. Now, we're going to get right into the work. So far, what we've covered is the first vision of Jibreel. Up until ayah number 12, that was the first vision of Jibreel, alayhi salam. From ayah number 13 to ayah number 18, and my goal today, just to reach 18, that's all we're going to do. Even if I get to 18 in 10 minutes, I'm not going to do any more, because I need you to process what happens until 18. And what's going to happen from ayah number 13 to 18 is the second vision of Jibreel, alayhi salam. But that did not happen on the earth. That happened when the Prophet ﷺ was taken to a heavenly journey, and he was taken above where no creation has ever been. Even the angels were not allowed above there. And from there, Allah describes what the Prophet ﷺ saw and what he experienced. And that's where we're going to begin in ayah number 13. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. And he certainly did see him, meaning see Jibreel, نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى, another... In a descent or in a lower position. Nuzul in Arabic means to be low. So for example, anzala or inzal is used for the Quran because the Quran comes from the heavens down, right? Nazil is something coming down. The angels, tatanazzalul malaikatu warruhu fiha bi'idhni rabbihim min kulli amr, because they're coming down. Nazlatan here is a lower position. A lower position. Now this is immediately a contrast with what you read, what you heard about the first vision. Where did he see Jibreel in the first vision? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. And here, you know, وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى. He's in the highest horizon. So this is a complete different picture now. First time, he sees him right above. Now he's seeing him in a low position. But I thought he went up into the heavens and he sees him in a low position. First, let's see what this could imply. Imam Alusi notices something. He says, how come Allah used nazlatan as opposed to marratan? Because وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى, that would mean he saw him yet another time. But Allah didn't just say he saw him yet another time. He said he saw him at a descent another time. So he replaced the word another time with a descent or a low position. Imam Razi starts picking on this word and says this is significant. وَالنَّزْلَةُ حِينَئِذٍ يُحْتَمَلُ أَن تَكُونَ لِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَمَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَ عَلَى مَا وَرَدَ فِي بَعْضِ أَخْبَارِ لَيْلَةِ الْمِعْرَاجِ جَاوَزَ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَقَالَ لَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَوْ دَنَوْتُ أَنْ مُلَهُ لَاحْتَرَقْتُ
ثُمَّ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ فَذَلِكَ نَزْلَةٌ. It's incredible. The reports we have about the journey of the Prophet through the heavens tells us that at one point, the Prophet ﷺ reached a place where he had to go even past Jibreel alayhi salam. And when he noticed that Jibreel alayhi salam is not coming with him, Jibreel alayhi salam told him, لَوْ دَنَوْتُ أَنْمُلَى, if I move as much as a finger, a nail chip, a chipped nail, if I move this much more, لَحْتَرَقْتُ, I will be set on fire. I don't have the ability to come closer. You know, like the sun is at a certain distance from the earth. And if an object gets too close to the heat of the sun, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be inflamed. It can't withstand the heat of it. There's an intensity to this location that Jibreel alayhi salam cannot tolerate. So he has to stay low, but Allah has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to keep going. So ثم عاد إليه. So then the messenger kept going and he had a meeting. And he saw some things he saw that only he saw. We don't know what that is. We'll dig into that later. And on his way down, he sees him again. But now when he sees him, who's higher? The Prophet is higher now, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So nazlatan makes now sense, because the first time the Prophet was on the earth, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Jibreel was in the sky, alayhi salatu wasalam. But now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is actually even higher, and as he's coming down, he can see Jibreel alayhi salam in a lower position than himself. So this imagery is describing the ascension of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And for those people who argue that this journey was just a spiritual journey, it happened in his dream or his subconscious, etc., the word nazla tears that apart. It's such a literal visual image, right? That this journey did physically take place into the unseen, and this is where this vision happened. Okay, now, عند سدرة المنتهى. So when he saw Jibreel on his way down, he saw him by a lote tree. If you don't know what a lote tree is, you need to do Google Images. I would have put it here, but I want you to do some homework too. Look up what a lote tree looks like. But it's clearly not going to be the lote tree that we're used to. Let me give you an example. We have fruits in this world, yes? But Jannah has fruits. Are they the same? No. We have trees in this world. Jannah has trees. Are they the same? We have rivers in this world. They have rivers. Are they the same? No. The Prophet ﷺ describes, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, what no eye has ever seen. So what that's going to mean is, you're going to see stuff there that you've never seen before. You're going to see things that you want. Somebody could get to Jannah and say, I just really want a chicken shawarma. I really miss chicken shawarma. And, you know, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ, you're going to get what you want. If you really want a chicken shawarma, it will be presented to you. No problem. But then, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, but you'll see things there you've never seen before. And by the way, the things we desire are only based on what we've experienced. You see a nice car, man, I want that car. You see a nice picture, man, I want to go visit that place. Our imagination is limited. We haven't seen beyond this, so we can't want it. So our wants are going to evolve when we get to Jannah, because we're going to see stuff we've never seen. We're going to eat stuff we've never eaten. We're going to drink stuff we've never drank. But because the human vocabulary is based on what we've seen. This is called a mug. This is called a book. This is, by the way, a bow. I brought it for demonstration purposes. I'm not going to shoot any of you. But we see things and we name them. We name them. We have naming conventions for these things. But we've never been to Jannah. So we can't name stuff in Jannah. But what Allah does in the Quran is He says it has trees, it has fruits, it has meat, it has spouses, it has jewels, it has seating and all of that. So He uses words that we're used to from which world? This world. But He's doing that because we are limited, because we don't have access to that world. So He says the closest thing that you can use to help you at least get some idea of what's happening in Jannah is cushions. You're like, oh, cushions. Yeah, I see those at Target. Yeah. Okay, cushions. I get cushions. But when you get to Jannah and you see the cushion, like, oh, that's not no cushion. That, my God, that's what He meant? Oh my goodness. Completely different experience. You understand what I'm saying to you? So the language in the Quran for Jannah is actually borrowing language from this dunya, even though it's actually much more than that. Now, based on that idea, he sees Jibreel alayhi salam by a lot tree. It's a sidra. A sidra is a lot tree. But is if you Google the image of a lot tree, is that necessarily the same? No, it's something. So now it started making me wonder, what could it be about the lot tree that, you know, from the word sidra, the root letters are seen, dal, and ra. So the main word is lot tree. But what could it be? What could be some of its secondary meanings? There are some akhbar, some narrations. But before going to the narrations, I'm going to give you the secondary meanings of this word. As-sidar, ta'arrud fil khaba. When you drape over a tent, that's actually called a sidar in Arabic. When somebody lets their hair down, if they have long hair and they let their hair down, that's actually called sadar al-rajul. The man let his long hair down. So like the tent draping or the hair draping. Tasaddara bithawbihi, when somebody puts their clothes on, they cover themselves with their garb or their outfit or their clothes. That's tasaddara. Sadira basaruhu, when someone's vision got covered and they can't see clearly, that's their vision is experiencing sadir. So a theme is emerging. All of the words associated with sidra have to do with overarching, covering, you know, creating a barrier. It's as if Allah is describing a tree that casts a shadow. Something massive that casts a shadow, that overshadows. Okay? And then he says, he didn't just say sidra, he says al-muntaha. Al-muntaha actually means the final or the end. So this is the tree at the very, very end. Let's try to visualize this first. The Rasulullah ﷺ is coming down. He sees in the far as the eye can see, at the very end of whatever heavenly horizon that is, what does he see there? He sees a tree. That's the last thing he can see. And by that tree, who does he see? Jibreel alayhi salam. Inda sidratil muntaha. By the far end of this view, he can see Jibreel alayhi salam in a distance. Okay? So now, this is interesting. If you try to compare the language from the first vision, when he saw Jibreel alayhi salam had taken over the entire sky. You remember that? But now it seems like he sees him far away by a tree. So does that make it look like Jibreel alayhi salam is massive or small? Small. Because now we're not on the first sky. The place we're in is much more grand. And in the grand scheme of things, Jibreel alayhi salam looks like one star in the night sky. So in this world, he looked like overwhelming. And there, he's just a blimp. He's way out in the distance by that tree. You understand? And this is the image that Allah is painting of this second vision from these words, عند سدرة المنتهى. Now, the word muntaha is kind of important, and I'm going to show you why in a second. Al-muntaha means the final end, the last thing you can see. عندها جنة المأوى. And right by that tree, or right by that low position where Jibreel alayhi salam is that the Jannah, heaven, the garden of ultimate refuge. Ma'wa from awa ya'wi, awiyan, means to have refuge. Ma'wa means the place of refuge, the garden of refuge. Now what in the world is the garden of refuge? So there's the tree, and near that tree is the garden of refuge. And the Prophet ﷺ can see Jibreel, he can see the tree, and he can also see the garden of refuge. Now the scholars argued, what could be the garden of refuge? First argument here. وَاسْتُدِلَّ بِهِ عَلَى أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And using this ayah, the evidence is used to say that Jannah is in the sky. Jannah is not on this earth. There are Jewish traditions that say this world will become heaven. There are Jewish traditions that say that. This world will be transformed into heaven. There are Muslim scholars also who have held the view that this world will eventually become heaven itself. It will be transformed, and this will be Jannah itself. The Quran is going in a different direction. the Quran, it's from this ayah. Some scholars use this ayah to say, look, this is the heaven that we're going to go to one day. May Allah grant all of us His Jannah. It's up there. And the Prophet ﷺ sees it in the distance. By the way, if that is the case, something also incredible. Allah tells us something about the size of Jannah in the Quran. The size of Jannah. He says, عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ or عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Two places, Al-Imran and Hadid. He says, the size of Jannah, the real estate of Jannah, is equal to the seven skies and the earth combined. That's how big, and how I told you the first sky is 13.9 billion light years and all of that, right? Jannah is not the first sky, it's all seven skies and the earth combined in size. But Rasulullah ﷺ sees the tree in a distance and sees all of Jannah around it in a distance, like it's just a house or just a little yard. Like the skies and the earth combined are just a small location in this place where he is. It's not an overwhelming thing. It's actually just one part of his view. And the far end, عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. Man, what is this? What is this place where all of existence is puny? He is close to the Arsh of Allah, isn't he? And close to the Arsh of Allah, all of Allah's creation is so tiny. So very small. And so on his way down, he sees it far in the distance. وَقِيلَ هِيَ جَنَّةٌ تَأْوِي إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ وَالْأَوَّلْ أَظْهَرِ. Imam Alusi says this clearly. Some people said, this can't be the Jannah we're going to go to. It must be some other Jannah for angels. Because Jibreel alayhi salam is there, all the other angels hang out there too. And he said, no, the first meaning is obvious. It's the Jannah. It's the Jannah where we're going to find our final refuge. In the Jannatul Ma'wa. Now, there's another reading of these ayat that Imam Alusi mentions. عِنْدَهَا جَنَّهُ الْمَأْوَى. I'll read that out loud again. جَنَّهُ الْمَأْوَى. And what that means then is, Jibreel alayhi salam was there, and right around there is where the refuge covered him. The refuge covered him. And what that means, Allahu Ta'ala. There's some refuge that took over Jibreel alayhi salam, or it could even mean it covered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. Now I want you to contemplate this with me before our break. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has had some kind of meeting that no creation has ever had. And he's coming down from this meeting. And as he's coming down from this meeting, he sees Jibreel alayhi salam. What is the main job of Jibreel alayhi salam from what we know? I know he has multiple powers, al-quwa. But we know he's the angel of revelation, right? Where is he? He's by a tree. What's by the tree? Jannatul Ma'wa. Jannatul Ma'wa is a historical site. The story of humanity began in that garden. The first human being was there. The devil was there. The drama that took place, that led us to this planet, happened there. And the Prophet ﷺ sees this historic place. You know, when you go to a historic place, your heart almost travels to that moment. Like what I try to do if I go to Umrah or I go on Ziyarah, what I try and do is I try to recite Meccan Quran in Mecca. And I try to recite Madani Quran in Medina. And what I try to wonder is, Jibreel was coming here somewhere, giving this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know? When we go to the Masjid Qiblatain, I'll recite the ayat about the change of Qibla, because they came there. They came about this. The angel was here somewhere, and these ayat were coming down. I want to relive the moment. Now, this is, you know, these monuments, these places that become historical sites, they're called sha'air. The Arabic word is sha'air. Like Maqam Ibrahim is from the Sha'air of Allah. Safa and Marwa are from the Sha'air of Allah. Sha'air comes from the word Sha'ira, which actually means feeling. So even in modern Arabic, Ash'ur bil khawf, Ash'ur bil hub, I feel fear, I feel love. Those places, when you're there, they create a feeling inside you. When you're running between Safa and Marwa, you're supposed to feel what Ismail's mother felt. You understand? When you're doing tawaf, you're supposed to feel something that Ibrahim alayhi salam felt. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt when Mecca was conquered. You're supposed to feel something when you go to these places. They're bringing about these masha'ir, these feelings. And that's why they're called sha'air. That's why they're called that. Now, can you imagine, not any sha'ira, he is in the company of Allah and he's looking at the most historic site of all historic sites, the origin of humanity. He sees it right there. And as Adam alayhi salam was being sent down, Allah said to him, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًا فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. If and when guidance comes to you from me, Adam was told, Adam and Hawa were told, to all of their children, when guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows it will have no fear and they will not be sad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last installment, the last najm in the constellation of all the revelations that were talked about in that dialogue. When Allah told Adam, whenever God guidance will come, whoever follows it, well, what's the last guidance of it all? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he's looking at that tree and he's looking at Jibreel who delivers that revelation alayhi salam. And he's looking at that Jannah that was our original home that we're supposed to come back to. Can you just for a moment imagine the sense of responsibility he must have felt in that moment? Like there's a moment where he feels this responsibility when the angel first appeared to him and gave him revelation. He must have felt the weight of the world on his shoulders. But this is on another level. He's seeing it all over again. And now it's not like the angel is in the higher position and he's in the lower position. Actually, now he's in the higher position and he's looking at the angel Jibreel. And just imagine the status, the position that Allah has given him. And the higher Allah gives you a status, the more, the heavier he gives you the responsibility. You get new appreciation for the words, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We're going to put on you a heavy word. So he sees Jannatul Ma'wa. He sees all of Jannah. He sees our future home. He sees why did Allah give this revelation so people can make their way to this place. And he sees Jibreel alayhi salam in the far horizon. But then something else happens. So he's coming down. Rasulullah is coming down. Or he's at this place above Jibreel alayhi salam. And he's looking at Jibreel. And then something happens that we're never going to know what it means. Allah mentions it though. He says, "If yaghsha sidrata ma yaghsha." When all of a sudden, because if can have mufaja'a in it, all of a sudden the tree started getting covered up. So he saw the tree, he saw Jibreel, he saw the garden, and now the tree itself is getting overshadowed, overcovered. What can cover the tree? He says, ma yaghsha, something that covers it. Something that covers the tree. What is that? But the Prophet ﷺ sees something ascending, something rising, and it overshadows or it overarches the tree. And now he can't see the tree anymore. Because whatever that covers it has taken it over. Here's where I shared something with Sheikh Suhaib today, because I think about these things and then I have crazy thoughts and I say, maybe I'm just crazy. So I go share with my scholar friends who are not as crazy. And then they come back and say, that's not as crazy. That's okay. Or this is okay. So this one got a green check. So I'm going to share this with you. What was the tree called? The tree of what? Al-Muntaha. The limit. You know, this is the limit to which the creation of Allah can go. We can't go past that. Even Jibreel couldn't go past that. So it's like, Muntaha could be a word for the final border for all of Allah's creation. And he's right by that final border, right? Okay. By the way, it's also really interesting that Allah put his Jannah right underneath that border, which means we're literally close to Allah in Jannah. As close as a creation can get. You see? Because it's right there. Now, because it's the final border and no other creation can get there, it is the final end. You can call it the end goal. Now, the Muslim says, I just want to get to Jannah. My end goal? Somebody ask a Muslim, what's your end goal? Jannah. But then there's something that came over even Jannah. Could there be something that's even a higher goal than Jannah? And you know what? For some people, they're like, Jannah or no Jannah, I just want to meet Allah. I just want Allah to be happy. That if I have that, that's more than Jannah. And by the way, in Jannah, Allah will describe, like in Surah At-Tur, Surah Adh-Dhariyat, Surah At-Tur, Insan is my favorite one. So much description of Jannah. So much description of Jannah. Food, drinks, this, that. Time, isn't it? Oh, 3 minutes. Okay, good. Food, drinks, company. You're talking to people. You're reminiscing about old times. All of it. And then Allah Himself serves you a drink. In Surah Al-Insan, He serves you a drink. سَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. Your Rabb will serve you a drink. And it's not just that He's serving you a drink, because you know you have children serving drinks in Jannah. You've got servants serving. And all of a sudden, your Rabb says, here, drink this. He gives it. And then He says, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً. This is your ultimate reward. You know, every other reward disappears. Because who's talking to you? Allah is talking to you. And you know what Allah is saying? The effort you made was appreciated. Can you... You know, some of us, we die trying to get appreciated by our dad, by our older brother, by our mother. Your dad has never said to you, son, put his hand on your shoulder, son, I'm proud of you. Never heard it. He'll say it to everyone else. Oh, I'm really proud of my son. Did you ever tell him that? No. What do you think? I'm stupid. I'm from Pakistan. We don't do that. We'll tell you how much of a disappointment you are. But even though, and you say, you never said you're proud of me. I have to say it? Yeah, you do have to say it. I did an experiment one time. I traveled around the world, did this seminar. I asked a really funny question to the men. I was like, how many of you were told by your dad he loves you? And like 3 people raised their hand in 1,000 crowd. 2 people, 5 people. I'm like, cool. Some great dads out there. Then I asked my own sister. Does dad ever say he loved, because I mean, I love him. He loves me. He was here the other day. He doesn't say, I love you. He doesn't normally say it. So I asked my sister, does he say it? Does he say it to you? Maybe I'm special. He doesn't say it to me. And she said, no, that's weird. We don't do that in this family. But you know what? If your father, your mother, your teacher, heck, you don't even like your boss, man. But if your boss came over to you and said, I'm proud of you, good job. You feel something, don't you? Lunch tastes extra good that day, doesn't it? My God, Allah Himself saying, I appreciate you. There's Jannah and there's something higher than Jannah. Allah doesn't say what it is, but He does say it's something that's even, it overcasts that tree and it overcasts Jannah, it overcasts all of it. Is yaghsha sidrata ma yaghsha. Whatever it is. And the last thing, I know it's time, is this happened now or it happened in the past? It happened in the past. But the word here is if, ya, if the word is pushes the meaning into the past. Okay, so even the mudari' yaghsha, the present form is being used, it still means past. When the tree started getting covered. But the next yaghsha, ma yaghsha, is present tense, as if it's istihbar, which means the Prophet ﷺ can feel it even now. Like he continues to feel the overcasting of the tree. It's an ongoing thing for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the last juicy bit, because we gotta start fresh from ayah number 17 when I come back. There's so much to do tonight. The last juicy bit I want you to know is Allah in these ayat chose the word yaghsha. You remember what I said about sidra? Okay, it means the low tree. What else does it mean? To cast a shadow. You know, one of the meanings of ghashiya is actually a low tree. Ghashiya itself in Arabic also means a low tree. It's as if this tree got taken over by yet another. This thing that covers was covered by something even more. The cover got covered. Subhanallah. إِذْ يَغْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى. This is remarkable language. My goal was to get to ayah number 18, but we're going to rewind and we're going to go back to this again. I just wanted to get your feet wet with what's going on in these ayat.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the deeper look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on BayyinahTV.com under the deeper look section.